the judgment day. God has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead, just as Brother David looked at. But it's interesting that the judgment day was looked upon with great fear and trembling by many attending the churches in Brother Russell's day, and even to the present time. Fear is a wonderful way to fill the pews and to get the money into the coffers of the church. Brother Russell wrote, "The view generally entertained is that Christ will come to earth sitting upon a great white throne, and that he will summon the saints and sinners in rank and file before him to be judged. Amidst great convulsions of nature, earthquakes, opening graves, rending rocks and falling mountains, that the trembling sinner will be brought from the depths of everlasting woe to hear their sins rehearsed, only to be again returned to the eternal and merciless doom. The entire time supposed to be arraigned to this stupendous work of judging the billions is a 24-hour day." And I think Brother Adam will remember one of our trips to the Philippines where he was doing very well on his talk, except he was getting jeered by a young man in the crowd who was shouting out that all were going to hell. And we did ask him, what about his family? And he said, well, I'll be sitting up in heaven cheering as they go to hell. And it was interesting that a few years later he actually started to attend the meetings. I think he had a few problems with the thought of the family going there. The view comes from a literal interpretation of 2 Peter 2:9. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from temptation and to keep the unrighteous under punishment for the day of judgment. The expectation is that Jesus will return sitting on a great white throne with the world being destroyed by earthquakes and fires. Sinners will be called upon from hell to hear their sins reviewed and then returned to their eternal doom. Matthew Henry writes, "The preservation of impenitent sinners is only a reserving of them to the day of the revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Basically, raising the billions of mankind from hell to tell them that they did not accept Christ, so back to the lake of fire and eternal hell. Revelations 20 and Matthew 25, 31 to 46 are both taken literally, instead of accepting that Revelations is a book of symbols and that Jesus was speaking a parable with the sheep and the goats. Is the judgment day as bad as Dainty's picture of it? Let us see what the scriptures say. And when we look at that horrible picture, and when we're in Finland, Sue and I saw some other very graphic pictures of the plan of God and the sinner being tormented down below and the righteous being up in heaven looking down with applause. The painter had actually been commissioned by the church. It was just interesting because they didn't realise he knew how much money each one put in, and the mayor had told everyone he'd put the most in. When the painting was unfurled, it was obvious he was Satan. He had put in nothing. The poor people were the angels. Yeah. The psalmist gives a very different picture. Say amongst the nations, the Lord reigns. Indeed, the world is firmly established. It will not be moved. He will judge the people with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the seas roar, and all in it contains. Let the field exult, and all that is in it. Then all the trees of the forest will sing with joy before the Lord, for he is coming. For he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. The Bible teaches of a future day of judgment for the nations that gives hope and assurance, a time to heal the nations. Paul respectfully addressed the people on men on Mars Hill. I observe that you are very religious in all respects. Paul understood that because of the fear that they may not honour all of the gods, they had built an altar to the unknown God. He goes on to proclaim this unknown God. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needeth anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundless boundaries of their inhabitation, that they would seek God. Acts 17:24-27. The future judgment which the Jehovah had appointed is a period of probation, during which the people will have an opportunity, based on full knowledge of the issues involved, to choose between obedience to Jehovah and disobedience, between righteousness and unrighteousness. The judgment day is not an ordinary day of 24 hours, but as the Bible teaches, an entire age, 1,000 years. It is in fact the same 1,000 years that Jesus will rule over the earth, for he is judge as well as king. Is the world being judged during the gospel age? Jesus states, "If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. For I did not come into the world to come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I speak is to what will judge him in the last days," in John 12:47-48. How beautifully this harmonises with the promise in the Psalms that in the judgment day of the future, the people will be judged by the very one who gave his life as a ransom for them. Jesus' statement that those who do not believe his words are not judged implies that those who do believe and become his followers are judged during the present gospel age. To appreciate what this means, it is necessary to understand the meaning of judgment as used scripturally. Here it denotes more than the passing of a sentence. It includes the thought of a trial that then leads up to a verdict. Paul states earlier, "So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 1:7. And then again, he says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeals amongst you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though it were some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory you may be received with exaltation. 1 Peter 4:12-13. Clearly, the trials of the Christian can be difficult, but the reward or verdict is great, as we are told, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life." After mentioning the Christian's fiery trial or judgment, Paul explains further when he says, "The time is coming that judgment must begin at the house of God," 1 Peter 4:17. This text clearly establishes that the present age is a time of judgment for believers, the house of God. The judgment or trial started with Jesus Christ as the head of the house of God, which gives us the strength to go forward. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. But what happens to the unbelievers during this gospel age? They are not judged along with those who accept Christ. And returning to John chapter 12, Jesus states that this will be the last day. What a wonderful assurance that those who do not accept Christ now are not condemned, just passed over for the present. I can remember Sue and I travelling through the southern part of America. There was a interesting speaker on ministers from a church, doing a wonderful job on how we could convert the Mormons back to Christianity. Oh, it was wonderful, told us all the things that were different and how wonderful it was, until he came to the last part. And he said, "And if they do not convert, we will send them directly to hell." So his whole point had been lost. He had no idea of what this period of time was, that only those who accept the word of God, Christ preaches, are under judgment. The words of Martha give a clue to the timing of the last day. Martha was concerned about a brother who had just died and states, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." John 11:24. Note that the last day is at the time of the resurrection, the last great day or period in the divine plan for the redemption and recovery of the human race from sin and death. Humans are already under a death sentence, having been condemned because of Adam's original sin. And this is the position of all who have not accepted Christ as their Saviour and consecrated themselves to do God's will. Believers, on the other hand, upon the basis of their faith, come out from the condemnation which came upon man through Father Adam. In their new standing before the Lord, they have justification of life, in which there is no condemnation. Romans 5:18-1. The significance of this, as related to the future judgment day, is revealed by Jesus when he states, "He that heareth my word and believes on him that sent me hath by faith everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation." The Greek word krisis here means judgment, but it is passed from death unto life. John 5:24. This tells us plainly that the believer by faith now passes from death unto life, and they will not come into judgment in the future. Their judgment or trial is now, and as we are told, if faithful, they will receive a crown of life, a spiritual life. Jesus' statement that his words would be the final judgment of the unbeliever is in harmony with the text which declares that the Lord will judge the people with his truth. All mankind are to be enlightened with the truth concerning God, and upon the embasement of this enlightenment, they will be given an opportunity to obey and to live. This could not be true of those who died before Christ came, nor would it be true of the countless millions since who have never heard of Jesus. It had to be in line with the wonderful prophecies of the 1,000-year period of Christ's reign. The promise is made that the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Isaiah 11 and verse 9. With the disintegration of a social order of this present evil world, Zephaniah tells us the Lord will turn to the people a pure language or message, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. The prophet Jeremiah tells us of a future time when the Lord will make a new covenant with the house of Judah and with the house of Israel, explaining that then the divine law will be written into the hearts of the people. The knowledge of the Lord will then be so universal that all shall know him, from the least of them unto the greatest. Jeremiah 31:31-34. The Apostle Paul states, God will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. 1 Timothy 2, 3-6. At first glance, the sequence given here seems contrary to other scriptures which insist that one must have a knowledge of the truth first, then, upon the basis of this knowledge, believe and be saved. For here the apostle speaks of being saved first, and then receiving a knowledge of the truth. However, in this instance, Paul is not using the word saved to describe the eternal salvation which results from believing and obeying the gospel. Rather, he is telling us that it is God's will that all who have died in ignorance of the only name given under heaven and amongst men whereby we must be saved. Sorry. Paul uses the word saved to describe what Jesus promised when he said that all in their graves would hear his voice and come forth. And we read, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to his works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, whereas whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelations 20:12-15. During the thousand-year reign of Christ, when the dead are being awakened, they will stand before God in the same sense that through the redemptive work of Christ, the original condemnation will no longer count against them, and each will have an opportunity to believe, obey, and live. But this opportunity requires a further display of divine grace. The books must be opened, for as long as they remain closed, the word of God is concealed, and the people comprehend it not. The prophecy mentions the works of those being judged as separate from the books, for the judgment is said to be out of the things in the books, according to their works. The point is that the judgment is based upon the degree to which their works are made to conform to the truth contained in the books. Jehovah would not need to look up the record of any sinner's works to determine his worthiness or unworthiness to life. He knows, as the scriptures state, there is none righteous, no, not one, in Romans 3 and 10. Even the footstep followers of Jesus would be unworthy of life if they were judged by their own imperfect works. In Isaiah 29:11-18 speaks again of these symbolic books and what is implied by their opening. In this passage we are told that the books were sealed, which given to one who has learned and then to one who is unlearned. Neither can read or comprehend the meaning of the contents. Then in verse 19, finally the book is opened. In that day shall the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of darkness. The meek also shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor amongst men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. The veil of ignorance will be removed. Revelations 20 and 13 says that death and Hades then give up their dead. Hell or Hades is the condition of death, not a place of torment. Following the return of the dead from hell and the thousand years ending in the little season, both death and hell are to be cast into the lake of fire, which is described as the second death. It is not called the second death because everything destroyed in the lake of fire dies a second time, but because it is the second time that the death penalty will be inflicted. This time not for Adam's sin, because they have failed to take the opportunity for life offered during the millennial age. In the lake of fire, even death itself will be destroyed. Included in that final cleansing of the world, of the earth, will be the destruction of all those whose names are not finally written in the books of life. These will be cast into the lake of fire, the second death, not to be tormented, but to be destroyed. The glorious day when the Lord judges the people with his truth will be a time of favour to them. And we read, when the judgments are are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Isaiah 26 and 9. But there will be willfully wicked ones, even then, who refuse to obey the word of God. Concerning this, the next verse declares, let favour be shown to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness will he deal unjustly, and will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Verse 10. The expression, the land of uprightness, describes conditions which will exist in the earth during the reign of Christ. And Peter refers to this same time, saying, "We, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." 2 Peter 3:13. Peter refers to this new era of human experience as the day of judgment and perdition or destruction of ungodly men. It will mean punishment for all, for they will be destroyed for amongst the people. But as Peter shows, only those who refuse to hear and obey the truth when it is then presented will be revealed as ungodly and destroyed. Under the enlightened influence of the truth, their willful disposition will be revealed. In view of the marvellous blessings yet in store for the human race, blessings which will come during the 1,000-year judgment day, it is no wonder that the psalmist called upon all creation to praise the Lord before his because he cometh to judge the earth. For he shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. And may the Lord add his blessing. Thank you.